Stars swirl and form a constellation. They disappear to reveal the words United Artists, an MGM company. Blue discs move across the black screen. One disc becomes larger as if looking through the barrel of a gun, in which the suited figure of James Bond walks in profile. He turns and fires his gun. A veil of red drips down, covering the screen. The barrel of the gun becomes a white disc, which opens out to reveal a scene, a rocky cove with a sand-covered beach. Some cane chairs and a small table are arranged at the water's edge, and a woman in a swimming costume lounges on one of the chairs. A waiter, a midget with short dark hair, brings a tray with champagne. The woman stands and goes to the water's edge with some towels to meet a man who's been swimming. The woman is slim, with a pale, delicate face and long, light brown hair. She hands the man a towel and lovingly dries his back with another. As he turns round, his face is hard, dismissive of the woman's attentions. Scaramanga's in his 40s, with dark hair and chiseled features. On his chest, he has 3 nipples. The waiter, knick-knack, opens the champagne. He glances briefly at the couple. His eyes are narrow and dark, his lips thick and jaw heavy. Knick-knack leaves the cove, climbing up a stairway cut between the rocks. He arrives on a rocky ledge next to a house above the cove. A man approaches from the beach, wearing a dark jacket and trousers and a trilby. He has a scarred, pockmarked face.
Knick-knack! Tabasco!
Right away, Monsieur Scaramanga.
Knick-knack glances back in the direction of the cove, then puts his fingers to his lips, indicating that the man, Rodney, should remain silent. He beckons him to the house. Knick-knack leads Rodney inside, a dimly lit entrance hall with small modern sculptures on plinths, then into a large carpeted sunroom, tastefully and expensively furnished. Rugged sections of rock protrude through the walls. Rodney eyes Knick-knack suspiciously.
Hey.
He clicks his fingers. Knick-knack hands him an envelope.
Half. You get the rest later.
The envelope is stuffed with money. Knick-knack leaves the room, then reappears with a small bottle of Tabasco.
Wait for him in there. Through that door.
He directs Rodney to a corridor.
He will join you in a minute.
Knick-knack goes. Rodney stares after him from weary, heavily lidded eyes. He walks along the corridor and enters the room at the end. It's a kind of gym and games room containing a bench press, leather vaulting horse, fairground games, and a built-in bar. Rodney surveys the room, then opens the small leather case he's carrying. He takes out a handgun. Down in the cove, Scaramanga has put on a dark tracksuit. The woman lies sunning herself, staring out sadly. Knick-knack arrives.
Your steam bath is ready, Monsieur Scaramanga.
In the gym, the man points his gun at a fairground shooting game with ducks. His face breaks into a grin. Scaramanga walks up to the house. He presses a wall panel, which opens a door. Down in the cove, the woman dozes in her lounger chair, her long legs stretched out. Scaramanga strides across the gym. Rodney's seated in a corner. He cocks his gun. Scaramanga freezes. Rodney stands, pointing his gun. The two men's eyes are locked. Rodney takes a few steps towards Scaramanga and, laughing, takes aim. He fires. The lights snap to a dingy red. Scaramanga drops behind the vaulting horse. Rodney peers around, confused. Knick-knack's narrow eyes are visible through a letterbox-sized observation hole above the bar. Scaramanga picks up a weight and throws it across the room. Rodney fires in the direction of the noise. Scaramanga takes cover behind a sofa. He reaches up to a cupboard behind him and tries to open it.
Oh, that would have been too easy. It's locked.
Knick-knack speaks into a mic.
You'll have to look elsewhere, monsieur.
He flicks some switches. In the gym, a swirling spiral with Scaramanga's face is projected onto a wall. Rodney fires at it. A huge eye stares from the spiral. A doorframe lights up, with infinite doorways beyond it. Standing around in panic, Rodney passes through the doorframe and stumbles. Knick-knack grins. He watches Rodney's progress on a monitor. The gunman's scarred face glistens with sweat as he peers through the darkness. His mouth hangs slightly open. A jangling skeleton dances in front of him. Rodney's eyes are like saucers. He wets his lips. Lights rise on a cowboy saloon. A life-size automated cowboy comes through the swinging doors. Rodney fires back, then stops. Slightly calmer, he looks around. The cowboy's automated arm moves up and down uselessly. A light pulses on and off. Gun at the ready, Rodney creeps forward. Knick-Knack watches him from the control room and presses some buttons. Rodney creeps around a corner and emerges next to a cutout of a gangster's car. A pair of double doors fly open to reveal four gangsters. They look real and fire at Rodney, who fires back. A pair of mannequin's arms clatter to the floor.
Hey, Al. Al. Wherever you are, don't hold it against me.
With a disconcerted glance, Rodney moves on. From the control room, Knick-Knack watches Scaramanga pull back a curtain.
I wonder where you can find your gun, Monsieur Scaramanga. Your little golden gun.
Rodney hears Knick-Knack's voice and edges forward cautiously.
Where can it be?
A spotlight illuminates it on a plinth.
There is something we haven't had before.
Scaramanga steps forward.
I wonder what it can be.
Scaramanga reaches out for the golden gun, but it's a reflection.
I fooled you.
Knick-Knack claps his pudgy hands.
You're getting warmer.
Scaramanga creeps forward.
Much warmer.
Scaramanga peers round a corner. He's at the top of some stairs looking down on the golden gun. It stands elegantly mounted on its plinth in the middle of a shadowy space, enclosed by large angular grey and red screens. Rodney is concealed behind a screen. He watches the gun on its plinth, tightening his grip on his own gun. Scaramanga frowns thoughtfully as he assesses the situation.
Now, how are you going to get down the stairs? So near. And yet so far.
Scaramanga presses a button on the wall. The stair treads tip, forming a slide. He skates down. Rodney fires, but misses. Scaramanga grabs the golden gun and shoots Rodney in the forehead. A trickle of blood runs between his startled eyes and he staggers back. He falls at the feet of a life-size model of James Bond, gun in one hand. Scaramanga straightens up.
Bravo, Monsieur Scaramanga. You've done it again.
Knick-Knack retrieves the envelope of money from Rodney's pocket.
This one was the best, Nespa.
Not bad. Not bad at all. But you'll have to do better than that if you want to come into my money.
I get you yet, and I'll enjoy every sou you leave me.
You'll be the death of me yet, Knick-Knack.
With a sudden movement, Scaramanga fires at the model of James Bond, shooting off all the fingers of his gun-free hand. The watery reflection of the face of an Oriental woman. She passes her elegant, long-nailed hand in front of her face and gives an enigmatic smile. The credits appear. The reflection ripples and disappears to be replaced by a hand holding a golden gun. Albert R. Broccoli and Harry Saltzman present...
He has a powerful weapon. He charges a million a shot.
Roger Moore as James Bond 007 in Ian Fleming's...
The Man with the Golden Gun.
The Man with the Golden Gun, a reflection of a naked reclining woman. The credits continue. Starring Christopher Lee, Britt Eklund, Maud Adams.
This very one, the man with the golden gun.
Hervé Villechaize as Knick-Knack, Clifton James as J.W. Pepper.
Comes just before the kill.
With Richard Liu, Soon Tai Kohn, Mark Lawrence, Lois Maxwell, Marn Maitland, Desmond Llewellyn, James Cousins, Chan Yu Lam, and Bernard Lee as M. The reflection shows the woman caressing the golden gun. Editors John Shirley and Raymond Poulton. The silhouetted figure of a woman dances in front of red-hot sparks.
Whenever he's hired, it comes just before...
Main title designed by Morris Binder, production designer Peter Merton. Directors of photography Ted Moore and Oswald Morris. Music composed, conducted and arranged by John Barry, lyrics by Don Black. Title song sung by Lulu.
The man with the golden gun.
Associate Producer Charles Orne. Screenplay by Richard Maybaum and Tom Mankiewicz. Produced by Albert R. Broccoli and Harry Saltzman. Directed by Guy Hamilton. James Bond, in a smart grey suit, comes into M's office.
Good morning, sir.
M has two suited men with him.
Calthorpe. Chief of Staff.
What do you know about a man called Scaramanga, 007?
Scaramanga? Oh, yes. The man with the golden gun. Born in a circus, father the ringmaster, possibly Cuban, mother English, a snake charmer. He was a spectacular trick shot artist by the time he was 10 and a local Rio gunman at 15. The KGB recruited him there and trained him in Europe, where he became an overworked, underpaid assassin. He went independent in the late 50s. Current price, $1 million a hit. No photograph on file, but he does have one distinguishing feature, however. A superfluous papilla.
A what?
A mammary gland. A third nipple, sir. He always uses a golden bullet, hence man with the golden gun. Present domicile unknown. I think that's all. Why, sir?
M hands Bond a golden bullet.
Charming trinket. Even has my number on it.
Precisely.
Well, obviously, it's useless as a bullet. I mean, sir, who would pay $1 million to have me killed?
Jealous husbands, outraged chefs, humiliated tailors. The list is endless. Moreover, this trinket, as you call it, was set with a note requesting special delivery to you. It's initialed with an S.
Scaramanga's fingerprints were on it. They've been verified by the CIA.
Why would he alert me?
Psychological. He counts on his reputation to terrify his intended victim.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Calthorpe and the Chief of Staff leave.
I'm relieving you of your present assignment, 007.
Sir?
Yes?
The energy crisis is still with us. I respectfully submit that finding Gibson and his solar cell data is even more important than ever.
It is indeed. And I can't jeopardize it or any mission by having Scaramanga hop up and put a bullet in you. I'll endorse your request to resign. Or you can take a sabbatical and go to ground until this matter's settled.
Or until he kills me.
Nobody knows where he is or what he looks like. So I think it's fair to assume that he has the edge on you. Wouldn't you agree? That's all, 007.
Bond hesitates and heads for the door. As he reaches it, he turns back to M.
If I found him first, sir, that might change the situation.
Dramatically, wouldn't you say?
He looks at Bond pointedly.
Good day, Bond.
M returns to his paperwork. Bond smiles to himself and leaves the office. He passes into Miss Moneypenny's office.
Moneypenny. Fairbanks.
Alaska.
No, Bill Fairbanks, 002.
Oh, poor Bill. I miss him.
Now, the man with the golden gun didn't.
Officially, that was never confirmed.
Where was 002 when it happened?
Beirut. 69. In a cabaret with a lady called Saida.
Beirut. Hmm. Moneypenny, you are better than a computer.
In all sorts of ways. But you never take advantage of them.
Miss Moneypenny?
Yes, sir.
Just one moment, darling.
Yes, James?
Why wasn't Scaramanga confirmed as the killer?
Because they couldn't find the bullet. Darling.
Bond sits at a table close to the stage at a cabaret in Beirut. Many of the customers wear Arab headdresses. Bond studies the belly dancer Saida, who has a piece of gold in her belly button. She's a Western woman with shoulder-length brown hair. She smiles widely as she dances, the beads and sequins of her costume jangling. A large bald man sits solemnly watching. At the next table is an equally solemn-faced man. The bald man calls to a third.
Ahmed.
Mustached Ahmed arrives and the three heavies watch Bond watching the dancer. Saida moves closer to Bond's table, thrusting her hips provocatively. Bond smiles at her. The three heavies are not amused. Saida leaves the stage through a door to one side. Bond rises, puts some money on the table, and follows the dancer through the door. The three men watch him go from the other side of the club. Bond, cigar in hand, finds a dressing room door. He knocks.
Entrez.
Good evening. My name is Bond. James Bond. Your dancing is superb. And so are you.
Merci.
She gets up from the dressing table.
And you are very handsome.
Don't usually intrude like this, but I believe we had a mutual friend. Bill Fairbanks.
Fairbanks?
Yes. I'm told you were with him when he was rather rudely interrupted.
Ah, mais oui, Bill. What a terrible night. I will never forget it.
Did you see who shot him?
No, I was in his arms. My eyes were closed.
At least he died happy.
The bullet went through him.
Through his back and ended up there?
No, no, through his neck. I take it out of the wall before the police arrive. And now, it is my lucky child. I never dance without it.
I'm sure Bill would have loved that.
She shows off her belly button, then caresses his neck.
But let us forget the past.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say that.
Are you staying long in Beirut?
Depends.
They embrace and kiss. Bond's hand wanders down her torso and over to her belly button. Saida takes his hand and moves it onto her buttock. Bond pats her bottom, then deliberately knocks a lipstick off the dressing table.
Clumsy on me.
He crouches down to retrieve the lipstick, his face in front of her belly. He kisses it. Saida closes her eyes and smiles with pleasure.
Really do have a magnificent abdomen.
He kisses her belly button. The three heavies burst in. One hits Bond on the back of the head. Bond swallows the bullet from Saida's belly button. The heavy throws him against shelves.
Oh, my perfumes! No!
Held by one man, Bond kicks a second. He pulls free of the first and punches him. The second charges and punches Bond. Bond recovers and punches his attacker back, sending him reeling. He seizes him and slams his head repeatedly against the wall. The bald guy grabs Bond from behind, pinning his arms back. The third man picks up a chair and swings it at Bond, who pulls round so that the bald man receives the blow. Bond and the third man grapple, Bond pinned up on a corner by his throat. He grabs a deodorant from the dressing table and sprays it in the guy's face. The guy recoils and Bond pushes him into a screen. A guy smashes an ornament over Bond's head. They struggle. Bond crunches the man's head against a mirror. The three heavies lie unconscious. Bond nurses his jaw thoughtfully. Outside, men are trying to get in. Saida is cowering in a corner. Bond notices another door and opens it. Saida notices her empty belly button.
Ah, I've lost my charm!
Not from where I'm standing.
Straightening his tie, he slips through the door into the street.
Taxi, hotel, mister?
No. The nearest pharmacy.
In Q's lab.
Dum-dum bullets like this. Flatten on impact for maximum wounding effect. Very nasty.
Yes, I'm sure it is. But just tell me where it was made and by whom.
Unfortunately, it's all in one piece. 20.03 grams, which leads us to deduce it was fired from a 4.2-millimeter gun.
Carthorpe, there's no such thing as a 4.2-millimeter gun.
The fact that no recognized munitions manufacturer, military or civil, produces such a bullet doesn't mean it doesn't exist, 007. Q Branch have been making irregular calibers for most unusual purposes. And we don't put markings or serial numbers on them.
Making identification almost impossible.
You mean to say there is no way to trace that bullet? No idea what it went through to get here.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. The workmanship is undemanding, according to our standards. Soft 23-carat gold with traces of nickel. Hardly ever used in Europe. Comes from India.
Far East?
Oh, why not India?
Nickel content obviously too low, 007.
Lazar?
Lazar? Imaginative. Highly specialized. Yes, I concur.
Technicians are testing a gun. They blow up a wall, the others barely notice.
Well, what the hell is Lazar?
Not what, who? Portuguese, lives in Macau.
Chap who made the bullet, 007.
Nighttime. Casino de Macau, then written in Chinese underneath. The street below is teeming with nightlife, pedestrians, rickshaws, brightly lit shopfronts. Bond in a white safari jacket pulls up on a rickshaw in a narrow alley. Woman sits eating with two young children. Bond pays off the driver and looks at the eating family.
I hate to interrupt your dinner, but does Senor Lazar live here?
They stare at Bond.
Lazar.
Someone's watching from behind a curtain.
I was given this address. Does he... Senor Lazar?
A man steps out.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
An unexpected honor, Mr. Bond. Your reputation precedes you. This way, please.
Lazar is a slim, slight man. Bond follows him down into his workshop.
It would be the proudest moment of my career if I could make something for you, Mr. Bond. A rifle, perhaps. Now, here we have an interesting problem. A custom-built model for a client who recently lost two fingers. Please.
Also lost his trigger.
It is housed in the butt. Squeeze it.
The rifle is set up in front of a target. Bond tries it. He just misses the bullseye.
The sides are a bit off.
You have five fingers. The butt is balanced for the pressure of three. That is why you were 1 inch too low. Here you will find only craftsmanship and quality. Mass production. Your Walter PPK, for instance. I leave to others.
What about ammunition?
Designed to individual requirements, whatever they may be.
In gold, if I want it.
I have already done that for a client.
I know you have. Francisco Scaramanga.
Lazar flinches slightly.
My relationship with a client, Mr. Bond, is strictly confidential. Like a doctor, priest with a penitent.
Of course. Yet you make guns for fingerless hoodlums, bullets for assassins.
Mr. Bond, bullets do not kill. It is the finger that pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
Bond points the rifle at Lazar.
I'm now aiming precisely at your groin. So speak or forever hold your peace.
I've never seen Mr. Scaramanga.
On a cost per bullet basis, he must be your best customer.
That is true, but unfortunately he seems only to fire them occasionally.
When was the last shipment?
Mr. Bond, this is impossible. I can't...
Lazar stands quaking.
You're quite right. An inch too low.
Bond quickly reloads. Lazar hurriedly produces a package.
I have just completed an order for immediate delivery.
Who collects them?
I swear I do not know. My instructions are to go to the casino. I am paid and they vanish.
Bond takes the small cigarette box containing five golden bullets. In the casino, Lazar is one of many sitting round a table. He takes the box of bullets from his pocket and puts it on the table in front of him. A tiny basket drops down. Lazar takes out the bundle of money inside it and replaces it with the box of bullets. The basket is lifted up by an unseen figure in the gallery above. Bond watches all this from a little way off. Up on the balcony, Scaramanga's mistress, the woman on the beach, collects the box of bullets from the basket and puts it in her handbag. She tips the waiter who pulled the basket up for her and walks to another part of the casino. Bond gets up and follows. A hydrofoil races over water. Scaramanga's mistress reads a book. Bond's watching her.
In a few moments, ladies and gentlemen, we will be in Hong Kong Harbor, one of the busiest ports in the world. May I remind you to have your passports and landing cards ready in order to avoid unnecessary delay.
The wide harbour is dotted with boats, large and small. The huge rusting hulk of a passenger ship lies on its side, partially submerged in the water.
On our left is the wreckage of the famous liner Queen Elizabeth, which sank here under mysterious circumstances in 1971. Ahead, you can now see Kowloon, and on your right, Hong Kong Island.
Scaramanga's mistress emerges from the Hong Kong Macau hydrofoil terminal. A green Rolls Royce is waiting for her. A moment later, Bond emerges. He watches the woman get into the car and hails a taxi.
Taxi!
Follow that road.
Bond gets in. A blonde woman in a sports car pulls up, blocking the taxi. Bond gets out.
Madam, would you be good enough to move this inverted bedpan?
I'm sorry I'm late, James, but your signal from Macau only just reached the office.
You're a great help, good night. Now, get onto the License Bureau and trace that car. AU603, a green Rose.
A green Rose?
A green Rolls Royce. There can't be that many in Hong Kong.
Bond gets in the car with Goodnight.
Courtesy cars. All green Rolls Royces belong to the Peninsula Hotel. You see what a 2-year posting to staff intelligence does for a girl. James, it's wonderful to see you. Where are you going?
I need some information.
He goes over to a doorman at the Peninsula Hotel and talks to him, giving him money. Bond returns to Goodnight.
The subject under surveillance is occupying room 602. I'll buy you dinner tonight, Goodnight, but first I have a little official business to attend to.
Yes, I saw the official business.
Good night. Would I do that to you after 2 years?
Yes, you bloody well would.
Bond emerges from the hotel lift carrying a bottle of champagne and an ice bucket. A waiter.
Please?
I can't manage. Oh, you could open a door for me, though.
He goes to room 602. The waiter obligingly opens it with his master key.
I open champagne?
No, it's a surprise.
Oh, a surprise.
Bond slips inside the room. He scans it and quietly shuts the door behind him. It appears to be deserted. Bond moves silently into the room and puts the champagne down on a coffee table. He takes out his gun and goes over to a door on the other side of the room. The door is ajar. Bond pushes it open and peers into the bedroom. Seeing no one, he goes in. Clothes are strewn over the bed. He stops and looks over to the sound of the shower coming from the bathroom. The lithe figure of Scaramanga's mistress is visible through the frosted glass of the shower cubicle. Bond walks into the bathroom. His mouth curls up with a barely suppressed smile of delight. He puts his gun in his breast pocket and stands with folded arms, enjoying the show.
Good afternoon.
She freezes, her eyes wide. Slowly she slides the cubicle door open with one hand. In her other hand she holds a gun.
A water pistol.
Pass me that rope.
He takes a white toweling robe over to her. She holds it in front of her naked body with one hand, still pointing the gun.
Turn her around.
With an obliging smile, Bond does so.
You always take a shower with a pistol.
He watches her in a mirror as she slips the robe on. She sees him looking.
Put your hands up and get out of here.
He walks at gunpoint into the bedroom.
Keep on walking.
But you haven't answered my question.
He faces her. She goes over to the telephone between the two beds and picks up the receiver.
This is Miss Andrews, room 602. Put this down.
The bullets.
I see why these packets carry a government warning.
Give me that.
It certainly can damage your health.
He goes to handle the bullets, knocks the gun from her hand and pins her to the bed.
Ah, you're hurting my arm.
I'll break it unless you tell me where those bullets go.
No, I can't.
Try.
Don't kill me.
Who?
Ah! Go,
Bond lets her go.
You see what you can do when you try? You work for him?
lot of work for him. Yes, I'm his.
Oh, so he's a lover too?
Only before he kills.
Bullfighters do the same thing, claims it improves the eye. His eye is on me. Where can I find him?
I don't know. I don't know.
I said where?
I don't know where. He doesn't tell me everything. I know he has a date at the Bottoms Up Club tonight.
How will I recognize him?
Tall, slim, and dark.
So's my aunt. Anything distinctive about him?
Yes, but how can I... He's not like other people. He has three.
Fascinating anatomical tidbit. But probably the most useless piece of information I ever heard. Unless, of course, the Bottoms Up is a strip club and Scaramanga is performing there.
He grabs her by the collar.
You'll have to do better.
He usually wears a white linen suit, black tie, and jewelry, all gold.
You're improving.
I don't want you to twist my arm again.
I don't want to either. So I'll tell you what you're going to do, Miss Anders. You're going to take those golden bullets to Mr. Scaramanga, because if he doesn't get them, he may not show up at the Bottoms Up. And I want him there.
Why should you trust me?
I don't. But neither will Mr. Scaramanga trust you if he hears about this interesting little conversation. Who knows? He may even use one of those little golden bullets on you.
He pours champagne.
That would be a pity, because they're very expensive.
I'll take them to him.
Let's drink to that.
He gives her a glass.
Bottoms up?
A woman wearing only lace panties kneels on a table serving drinks to the men who sit around.
Soda or ginger ale?
Ginger ale.
The woman smiles at the grey-haired man as she serves him. A younger Chinese man comes in and sits down at the table. The woman smiles at him in recognition. The Chinese man smiles back, then glances uncomfortably at the grey-haired man. Across the road from the club, Bond waits in a shop doorway. He's smoking a large cigar. He glances at his watch. It's 10:05. Bond watches with interest as a figure comes out of the club and meets a second, shorter figure. Andrea Anders is in bed with Scaramanga. She stares at the ceiling, her face sad. As he kisses and caresses her, she responds. They lie together on a bed upholstered in brown velvet. Bond is still waiting in the doorway across the road from the Bottoms Up Club. He sees himself on a TV screen in the shop window and realizes there's a camera. He straightens his tie. On another TV screen, the bowler-hatted head of Knick-Knack appears. He looks at himself proudly. Bond sees Knick-Knack on the screen and looks round in confusion before realizing the figure is beside him at waist height. Knick-Knack gives Bond a beaming smile and moves on. Bond smiles to himself, then grows serious as he looks back at the club. He tosses his cigar down and crosses the road. Above the shop where Bond has been standing, a pair of eyes watch him from behind a neon sign. A golden gun is pointed at the club entrance. As Bond approaches the entrance, two men come out. Bond and one of the men hit the pavement. Bond scrambles for cover, his own gun drawn. The Chinese man who was in the club goes to the other man who's been shot on the forehead. He's the grey-haired man. Bond moves out into the road searching for the direction the shot came from. The Chinese man points a gun at Bond.
Police, drop it! Drop it! You're under arrest!
Bond drops his gun and the Chinese man goes to pick it up. Knick-Knack appears and looks at the body of the grey-haired man.
Move away from there!
Knick-Knack backs away.
If you'll take the trouble to examine that gun, you'll notice it hasn't been fired.
Anything you have to say, you can say at the station.
Bond gets into a police car as a police Land Rover pulls up. The Chinese man, Lieutenant Hip, addresses the officer who gets out.
I'm charging him under section 473.
He gets in the back of the car with Bond and they drive away.
I can see your identity card.
You will.
They drive to a jetty. The lights sparkle on the dark water. They get out of the car. Bond frowns as he sees a boat waiting.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to the police station.
Kowloon side.
They walk down the steps of the jetty onto the small motor launch. Nick Knack and Scaramanga arrive on another jetty. Scaramanga wears a dark suit. They walk down a gangplank onto a large wooden sailing junk. Nick Knack goes on deck while Scaramanga climbs down to the cabin. He flings the doors open to reveal a modern, comfortable bedroom with a large bed upholstered in brown velvet. Andrea Anders is waiting, a sheet pulled up to cover her nakedness. Scaramanga sits on the side of the bed and slowly pulls out his golden gun. He points it at Andrea's face. She stares at the gun transfixed. He moves it lower down her body, caressing her bare arm with the barrel. He moves in closer, the gun passing over her chest. She turns away slightly, pulling the sheet up higher. Scaramanga frowns and his face grows cruel. He rubs the nozzle of the gun around her parted lips. The sailing junk pulls away from the jetty. The police motor launch plows over the water, the lights of the bay in the distance. Bond sits in the back, arms folded. Lieutenant Hip watches him.
Kowloon's over there! We're going to the new territories!
The sailing junk sails away from the harbour towards a now pink sky. On the motor launch, Bond assesses the situation. Lieutenant Hip a few feet from him, an armed uniformed officer leaning against the door to the cabin. The motor launch passes close to the huge wreck of the Queen Elizabeth. Bond glances over at the armed officer. Grabbing a life belt, which he tosses to one side, he leaps off the launch onto the rusty hulk of the liner. Hip and the other officer leap up, but too late to stop Bond. Bond clambers up the side of the liner.
Welcome aboard, Commander Bond.
Bond stares in surprise and sees a loudspeaker. A hatch slowly opens.
This way, sir.
Bond cautiously approaches the opening.
Down the hatchway, please.
Bond climbs down a ladder and is met by a naval officer.
Good evening, sir. Would you follow me, please?
They go down several flights of steps. Level walkways have been laid out to compensate for the sloping floors of the liner.
It certainly gives you a new slant. What with the Chinese on one side and the American fleet on the other, down here's the only place in Hong Kong you can't be bugged. And with current real estate prices in Hong Kong, quite practical, really. Any luck?
Two officers at work.
Chinese fighter we managed to salvage.
They move down a corridor and enter an office. M, Q, and a third man are sitting at a table covered with a green baize cloth.
Good evening, 007. Glad to see you're still with us.
Lieutenant Hip is shown in. He and Bond stand in front of the table.
In future, Commander Bond, if you must tour the world of Susie One by night, kindly inform our man here, Lieutenant Hip.
Sorry, Commander. I had to get you away from the Hong Kong police, but didn't know how much you knew.
Nothing. But I think I should report, sir, that Scaramanga does not have a contract on me. He couldn't have missed me tonight. Instead, he hit some chap coming out of a club. I got quite a shock when I saw who it was.
I should think you did.
Missing solar energy expert, Gibson.
Yes, Gibson. He was prepared to come back under certain conditions. That's why I'm out here with Professor Frazier. Lieutenant Hip was making a preliminary contact. I almost wish that Scaramanga had a contract on you. Was Gibson cooperative?
He wanted to bargain for immunity, suggested another meeting in Bangkok to discuss terms.
Why Bangkok?
I got the impression he worked there for High Fat.
That name's come up before.
A multimillionaire, head of High Fat Enterprises. All of them legitimate, as far as we know.
What did Gibson propose bargaining with, Lieutenant?
A Solex. Claimed it was 95% efficient.
If he developed a solar cell that efficient, he solved the energy crisis.
Yes, sir, you've told me. Coal and oil will soon be depleted. Uranium's too dangerous. Geothermal and tidal control too expensive. I know all that. Where's the Solex now?
Solex agitator, sir. The essential unit to convert radiation from the sun into electricity on an industrial basis. Well, it's only about that size.
It won't take me long to check out Gibson's efficiency claim. This is really exciting now. May I see it, Lieutenant?
He showed it to me at the bar and replaced it in his pocket. And after he was shut, it wasn't there. I looked.
Gentlemen, I congratulate you. Instead of getting our hands on a perfected Solex, we're left with a useless corpse and no leads.
One lead, sir. Assuming Gibson was killed by Scaramanga, whoever hired him could afford $1 million.
Are you suggesting High Fat?
He could afford it.
Out of petty cash.
A thought has just occurred to me, sir. If High Fat hired Scaramanga, it's highly unlikely that he met him personally.
Why?
In the event of anything going wrong, there's nothing to connect the two. And that gives me an idea as to how to approach him. Q, I'll need this.
He writes something on a pad.
Rare it up, those seven.
Oh, I admit it's a little kinky.
You'll take Miss Goodnight with you.
Good night, sir.
After tonight's debacle, an efficient liaison officer wouldn't come amiss.
Thank you, sir.
You won't get anywhere near High Fats. I have some relatives in Bangkok. I have often passed his place. He lives in a big house on a mountainside, surrounded by guards.
A large house with curved oriental roofs is nestled in the lush vegetation against a hillside. Smaller buildings stand on terraces below the main house. An armed guard walks through an ornamental garden with a small lake and a bridge. A huge stone sculpture of a Chinese dragon is set in the lake, its coils rising up out of the water. A Chinese guard with a long thin ponytail and a rifle over his shoulder patrols past. He doesn't see Hip's face peering through the foliage above the high wall. On the other side of the wall, Hip is standing on Bond's shoulders. Bond is nonchalantly smoking a cigar.
No way! The place is crawling with guards. Have a look!
Bond climbs onto Hip's shoulders.
Hyper takes his privacy very seriously.
I'm sure he'll see me.
Bond climbs over the wall. He's facing a courtyard overlooking a breathtaking mountain view. A group of suited men are having a meeting. Bond walks over to a pool. A naked woman is swimming.
Good morning. How's the water?
Why don't you come in and find out?
Sounds very tempting, Miss...
Chumi.
Really? Well, there's only one small problem. I have no swimming trunks.
Neither have I.
A man spots Bond.
What are you doing here?
He marches over. Bond takes off his shirt.
Get out!
Bond has three nipples on his chest.
Immediately. I will have you...
The short, mustachioed man notices the third nipple.
Please forgive me, Mr. Scaramanga.
He gestures to Bond to follow him.
Excuse me, Chumi.
Bye.
Bond puts his shirt back on.
You understand my surprise. I thought it was understood. We were never to meet, Mr. Scaramanga. I always thought your abnormality was a myth. There are cults where it is considered a sign of invulnerability and great sexual prowess.
I've learned to live with it.
Why are you here?
Bond, James Bond?
Do I know the gentleman?
Well, he knows you.
Without being immodest, there's hardly anyone in this part of the world who doesn't.
And there are very few people who haven't heard of Bond. British Secret Service, 007, licensed to kill. He's good, even by my standards. He was near the Bottoms Up Club.
A coincidence.
I don't believe in them. The man's a menace. He knows something.
Are you suggesting I invest another million to remove him?
That's up to you.
I will give it some thought. Since you have chosen to meet me, perhaps you will dine here tonight.
I'll be delighted.
9 o'clock, then. Ling Po, see this gentleman out.
Bond is escorted through the red metal gates by two hatchet-faced guards. Hip is waiting for him along the road, standing by a car.
Don't tell me you saw him.
He even invited me to dinner. He must have found me quite titillating.
Bond reaches inside his shirt and pulls off the false nipple. He tosses it away and gets in the car with Hip. Through binoculars, Scaramanga is watching Bond and Hip leave. He's standing on the steps of a monument in Hi-Fat's garden. He grins as Hi-Fat comes to join him.
In due time, I shall be laid to rest here in my mausoleum. After a useful, happy, long life. And I do not intend to allow Mr. Bond to shorten it.
Hi-Fat walks away.
I'll get the car.
Good night. You know I'd much rather have dinner with you.
Oh, I understand, James. Please hurry back.
I'll ring as soon as I do. A midnight snack might be just the thing.
I'll keep the wine properly chilled.
And everything else warm, I trust.
Hip pulls up with two giggling teenage girls in the back of the car.
And everything else warm.
I hope you don't mind giving my nieces a lift.
Good evening.
Hi-Fat is on the way.
Bond stares with incomprehension at Hip, who grins. He pulls up outside Hi-Fat's gate, and Bond gets out.
I'll drop the girls, come back here and hang around.
Bond nods and goes up to the gates. He rings the bell.
The name's Scaramanga. Mr. Fat is expecting me.
The guard nods and lets Bond in. He marches confidently through the garden, which is lit with lamps. There are life-size statues of bare-chested warriors fighting. Bond slows his pace and studies the statues in more detail. They're attacking each other with tridents and spears.
Grizzly land.
As Bond passes, one of the statues moves. It's Knick-Knack. Two figures of sumo wrestlers straighten up and block Bond's path. They maneuver into position, shifting their enormous bulk from foot to foot.
Pleasant evening.
Bond steps forward. A wrestler bars the way with his arm. Bond fells him with two karate chops. He attempts the same with a second wrestler, who clamps him in a bear hug, squeezing the breath out of him. Bond hammers on the wrestler's neck in vain. Bond reaches down the wrestler's back and grabs the back of his loincloth. He twists the cloth tight between the wrestler's legs. The wrestler lets Bond go and doubles up in agony. Bond is struck from behind by Knick-Knack's trident. He falls unconscious. Knick-Knack pulls off his mask, grinning like a nymph. He prods a wrestler with his trident.
Get him! Come on!
The two wrestlers pick Bond up and lay him on a stone bench. Knick-Knack stands on the bench over Bond's body and raises his trident to stab him in the neck.
Stop it!
Hi-Fat and another man arrive.
Not here. This is my home. Take Mr. Bond to school.
Knick-Knack throws his trident down in disgust. Two ornately dressed Chinese women tend to Bond, who is laid out on a wooden floor, his head on a pillow. One bathes his forehead, whilst another gently massages his chest.
definitely heaven.
A third woman opens shutter, so the room is flooded with sunlight. Bond blinks. He sits up as a smiling woman slides open the doors to reveal a courtyard. Two lines of young men file in, dressed in white kung fu pajamas. Bond notices he's wearing the same pajamas himself. As a gong is struck, all the men bow. They all sit facing into the courtyard. Six more men file in, one of them in black, two in cream, and three in pale blue. They also bow. Bond sits up, now curious. A thin, elderly man in black with a skull cap and large horn-rimmed glasses stands in front of a large throne-like seat placed on the opposite side of the courtyard to where Bond reclines on his mat. Everyone bows again, and the elderly man sits. The elder gestures to one side. Two young men wearing cotton tunics and short trousers come in, one in orange, one in white. They're barefoot. They bow to the elder, and each takes two curved swords. They move to the center of the courtyard, bow to the elder, bow to each other, then fight. The fighter in orange kicks the fighter in white, who drops one of his swords. He leaps up and slashes furiously with his one blade. The orange fighter ducks repeatedly, but is thrown onto his back with a kick from the white fighter. He kicks back and the two grapple on the floor. The white fighter flies back and lies spread-eagled, his tunic crimson with blood. The orange fighter rises and bows to the elder. The body of the white fighter is quickly carried away.
Tasman.
One of the three fighters in pale blue stands. With his bent elbows pressed against his sides and his fists clenched, he bows to the elder, then moves to the center of the courtyard. He bows to the fighters on one side, then to the fighters on the other. He carries out a series of kung fu movements. During the demonstration, the three women attending Bond bring him tea and a cloth to wipe his face. He does so and drinks the tea, watching the fighter all the while. The fighter punches the air with impressive sharp precision movements and kicks with flexed feet. Facing Bond, he draws his fists in close to his body, puts his feet together and bows. One of the women takes Bond's teacup from him and gestures to him to join the fighter. Bond holds back. All the seated fighters turn to look at him simultaneously. Bond clenches his jaw and gets to his feet. He walks to the center of the courtyard with the fighter, who now swaggers slightly. The fighter bows to the elder, who looks at Bond. Bond gives a curt nod. The fighter bows to Bond, who kicks him in the face. The fighter is knocked out. Bond now ceremoniously bows to the elder. The fighter's body is quickly taken away. Bond goes to return to his mat, then he looks back at the elder, who's pursing his lips with disapproval.
Chula.
Chula, the fighter in black, a young man with a pale, sharp face, gets smartly to his feet. He rolls up the sleeves of his tunic and approaches Bond with a sneering smile. He squares up to Bond. They bow to each other. The fighter keeping his eyes locked on Bond. They straighten up. Bond offers his hand, but Chula kicks him. Bond is beaten to the floor with sharp blows. Chula lifts him by the scruff of his neck, punches him, and kicks Bond to the floor. Chula struts like a cockerel. Bond seizes him from behind around the throat. Chula punches him off. He leaps, kicking the air. Bond dodges. Chula kicks Bond in the throat. Bond recovers himself and kicks Chula, sending him flying. They both roll over and jump to their feet, bodies tense. Chula kicks, Bond ducks and grabs him round the neck. They struggle. Chula loosens Bond's grip with a series of blows. Bond punches back, sending Chula sprawling. Bond gives a hasty bow and charges from the courtyard, smashing through the thin wooden wall. As he sails out, Hip pulls up in the car, his nieces in the back. The courtyard fighters rise to their feet. Outside...
Are you all right?
How did you find me?
Hypat owns this place.
The fighters run out of the school. They surround Hip, his nieces, and Bond, who stands protectively in front of the girls.
Stand back, girls.
The girls step in front of Bond and assume mean kung fu stances. Bond watches in disbelief as the two girls in their smart school uniforms and long white socks make mincemeat of the boys. Hip, busy fighting himself, calls out to Bond.
I forgot to tell you! Their father runs the karate school!
The dirt track is already littered with bodies. Bond watches the girls finish off the last few fighters. One girl smashes a watermelon over a boy's head. A door from the courtyard opens and the elder steps out. The last remaining fighter faces the girls. They each grab an arm, kick him in the crotch, and leave him doubled up in pain. They slap palms triumphantly. They drag the poor boy over to Bond, who goes to punch him, then just pushes him over instead. The elder and Chula watch from the doorway. Bond meets the solemn gaze of the old man, then follows the girls and Hip over a bridge. A fighter recovers and pursues him. Bond turns and deals him a few blows before throwing him in the river. Chula charges from the courtyard, followed by more fighters. Hip, the girls, and Bond reach the car. Bond slams the door shut on the girls and Hip pulls off, Bond running behind the car. The girls gabble excitedly. With the fighters running behind him, Bond veers off the road and crosses some grass. He runs through some trees and emerges beside a river. He leaps into a punt and starts the engine. He lifts the engine propeller out of the water. It's on the end of a shaft and points it at the fighters who are about to leap onto the punt. They back away.
What you might call a Mexican screw-off, gentlemen!
He lowers the propeller into the water and races off. He speeds along the river, the fighters running along the bank. The fighters run along a gangplank. The engine on Bond's punt slows down. He wiggles some of the wires to no avail. A sightseeing boat packed with tourists passes by. On board, a boy is trying to sell a carved elephant.
Pretty lady, 100 baht.
No, no.
80 baht. 60 baht. Pretty lady, real elephant. 60 baht. Missy, yes, sir.
He jumps into the water and swims over to Bond.
Elephant! Bargain, Mr. 100 baht!
The fighters have got into a long boat. They set off in pursuit. The boy tries to interest Bond and his elephant.
Elephant! Real elephant! 60 baht! You are very handsome man, 40 baht! For you, mister, 20 baht.
I'll tell you what, Sonny, I'll give you 20,000 baht if you can make this heap go any faster.
The boy turns a valve.
20,000 baht.
Bond pushes the boy overboard. Bond pushes the boy overboard.
I'm afraid I have to owe you.
Bloody tourist! 20,000 baht!
Bond streams past the tourist boat. The longboat is catching up. Bond glances back over his shoulder. Bond overtakes another tourist boat, drenching one sheriff, J.W. Pepper.
Goddamn little brown water hog!
Oh, what's the matter, J.W., huh?
You just try that in my bayou, boy! I'd hold your ass!
Bond passes the boat terminal. A tourist boat pulls out, blocking the path of the fighter's longboat. They're forced to stop. J.W. and his wife get off their boat at the terminal. There's a stall selling wooden elephants.
Oh, look, J.W. I just gotta have me one of those cute little elephants.
Elephant? They're Democrats, Maybell.
J.W. watches the fighters struggling in their longboat.
If you got your little pointy heads out of them pajamas, you wouldn't be late for work.
The longboat gets past the tourist boat and continues along the river. The fighters slow down, searching for Bond. He's hiding in the punt under a jetty. Suddenly he surges forward, hitting the longboat side-on, cutting it in two. Most of the fighters fall into the water. J.W. watches with delight.
Pointy heads has no more idea of traffic control than a goonie bird.
Bond cruises past the floundering fighters, giving them a wave. JW frowns. An elephant is searching his pocket with its trunk. JW slaps it.
Get your cotton-picking snars out of my pants, you know?
He gazes out at the water and sees Bond sailing past. JW squints at him, a flicker of recognition passing over his chubby face. He looks down at the elephant and shakes his head.
Oh, you is ugly.
The elephant pushes him into the water.
JW?
Maybelle's finished her shopping.
Where are you?
JW stands up in the water. Bond makes his escape along the river, his hair streaming back in the breeze. At the mausoleum, Hi-Fat is having a heated radio conversation with someone from the school. Scaramanga enters.
Hey-yo, chili, nigga, fan tong.
What do they teach in that school? Ballet dancing?
Unamused, Hi-Fat goes to a wall safe.
I find nothing remotely amusing about Mr. Bond's escape.
You underestimated him.
Even my influence doesn't extend into the British Secret Service. I shall lie low, too. I don't intend to jeopardize a project in which I've invested half my fortune when it's ready to yield billions.
And where will you hide out?
That does not concern you. Take this.
The Solex.
Return it to the plant and don't leave there without my permission. May I remind you that you work for me? I took you on as a junior partner to be an occasional convenience, nothing more. I did not hire you to interfere in my affairs. Is that clearly understood?
Yes, very clearly.
He assembles his golden gun.
I now regret having even considered employing your services, but that is beside the point. Bond doesn't know you're in Bangkok. He's never seen you, but he knows me. That's the problem.
There's no problem.
Scaramanga points the gun with a smile. Hi-Fat's eyes widen. Scaramanga's smile drops. Hi-Fat falls forward, holding the desk for support before falling to the floor. Scaramanga looks down at him coldly. He quickly takes his gun apart so it looks like a pen and a cigarette lighter and pockets the items. A man runs in.
What happened?
Scaramanga stands, pocketing the Solex.
Mr. Fat has just resigned. I'm the new chairman of the board.
He walks outside.
He always did like that mausoleum. Put him in it.
Oriental dancers, wearing pointed jeweled headdresses, move with intricate, delicate movements. It's a large open-air restaurant. Bond, wearing a dark suit, strides over to a table where Goodnight is waiting.
Sorry about that, darling. It was him. There's still no sign of Hi-Fat. Every inquiry gets a polite Oriental brush-off.
With the compliments.
A waiter with a bottle.
Ooh, yuck.
74, sir.
They drink.
I approve.
You do?
Oh, not the wine. Your frock. Tight in all the right places. Not too many buttons.
Standard uniform for Southeast Asia. The buttons are down the back.
Designed by Q, no doubt. One of them's a suicide pill, I suppose.
No, but the bottom one has a Homer in it.
Our original. A toast. Per ora, e per il momento che verrà. To this moment, and the moment yet to come. In our profession, I'm afraid, you never can count on that moment to come. Who knows where you and I will be this time next year?
Opposite sides of the world, most likely.
That's too far apart. Now, if Hip doesn't come up with a lead, there's really nothing very much for us to do tonight. Or is there?
Oh, darling, I'm tempted. But killing a few hours as one of your passing fancies isn't quite my scene.
She gets up. Bond looks put out. The dancers leave. The restaurant backs onto the water on which is moored Scaramanga's sailing junk. Knick-Knack stands on the deck looking at the diners through binoculars. He lowers the binoculars and gives his impish smile. Goodnight, in her floor-length pale blue evening dress, walks from the restaurant. He switches on the light and takes off his jacket, muttering. He takes off his gun holster and loosens his tie. Hearing a noise from the bathroom, he snatches up his gun. Goodnight walks out wearing a baby doll nighty.
Goodnight, what a pleasant surprise.
My hard to get act didn't last very long, did it?
I was trained to expect the unexpected, but they never prepared me for anything like you in a night.
He throws back the bed covers and invites her in. She goes to him, kissing him passionately. He gently lowers her onto the bed.
James, I thought this would never happen.
They resume kissing.
What made you change your mind?
I'm weak.
They kiss again. There's a noise at the door. Bond throws the covers over Goodnight, takes up his gun and turns off the light. The door slowly opens and Andrea comes in wearing a black evening gown. She peers around the darkened room, then goes to pull the covers back on the bed. Bond turns a side light on.
Miss Anders, I didn't recognize you with the clothes on.
I bribed a bellboy to let me in. I've come to warn you. You're in great danger.
I usually am. That's why I use the old three pillar trick.
Please believe me, I'm risking my life to come here.
Oh, your concern for my well-being is touching. But puzzles me.
Scaramanga's in Bangkok.
He was in Hong Kong too, but not after me. We've been through that routine.
She sighs and lowers her eyes.
He's a monster. I hate him.
Then leave him.
You don't walk out on Scaramanga. There's no place he wouldn't find me.
You need a good lawyer.
I need 007. Who do you think sent that bullet to London with your number on it? I did. And it wasn't easy getting his fingerprint on the note.
You'll forgive me if I've been a little slow on the uptake.
Don't you see you're the only man in the world who can kill him?
And what gives you that idea?
The way Scaramanga speaks about you. Even has a likeness of you.
I'm flattered.
I want him dead. Name your price, anything, I'll pay it. You can have me too if you like. Not unattractive.
At last, you're starting to tell the truth.
She kisses him gently.
I've dreamed about you setting me free.
Unaware that Goodnight is under the covers next to them.
I've been dreaming about a Solex agitator.
She pauses for a second, then continues to kiss him.
Ever heard of one?
Her lips move close to his ear.
Perhaps you can have that too.
She gets up and goes into the bathroom. Bond silently turns back the bed covers and pulls Goodnight up. Ignoring her gestures of complaint, he pushes her into the wardrobe. He shuts the doors on her and hurries back to the bed to tidy it. In the wardrobe, pouting, Goodnight tries to get comfortable between the shirt and suit. Bond slips off his shoes and sits, waiting on the bed. Andrea appears wearing a blue bathrobe.
Charming.
She turns, heading for the wardrobe. Bond leaps up to stop her, but she simply switches off the light. Bond pretends he got up to pick up a pillow. And they embrace. Their lips pressed together, he undoes the belt of the bathrobe.
It's an inspiration. sending that bullet.
He pulls the robe from her shoulders, revealing her naked back. The robe drops to the floor. In the dark cupboard, Goodnight sighs. She rests her head on her hand and closes her eyes. On the sailing junk, Scaramanga lies in the middle of the large brown velvet bed, his eyes closed. Andrea slips in. She glances at Scaramanga and opens a wardrobe. She opens a smaller cupboard inside to reveal a safe.
You're late.
It was a double feature.
He doesn't open his eyes. Andrea unlocks the safe.
What are you doing?
Putting my jewelry away.
She takes off her earrings and bracelet and puts them in the safe. The Solex agitator is in there. Andrea closes the door. Goodnight is asleep in the wardrobe. Bond opens the door.
You can come out now.
What time is it?
Two-ish.
Two? You mean I've been in here for 2 hours?
All in the line of duty.
Duty? I'm resigning in the morning.
Oh, Goodnight, come on, don't let us down. The service needs women like you.
Well, obviously you don't.
She takes her clothes and sits on the bed.
Forgive me, darling. Your turn will come, I promise. As soon as she brings me that Solex.
For killing Scaramanga?
If she gets me the Solex agitator first.
First? James, you must be good.
She tosses her blonde hair and flounces to the bathroom.
We'll find out about that next time I meet her. She's making the arrangements.
A kickboxing fight. The spectators cheer. The boxers kick as well as punch. Bond slips into the crowd by the entrance. He hands his ticket to an attendant who shows him to his seat. One of the boxers has been kicked to the floor. He gets up and is kicked again. Goodnight stands on a gallery at the back of a tiered block of seating. She peers down and spots Bond walking to a seat close to the boxing ring. He sits down next to Andrea, who's wearing a large-brimmed white sun hat, casting her eyes in shadow. They don't look at each other.
Sorry I'm late. Bangkok traffic's worse than Piccadilly.
Let's make contact.
Hip.
How's the charm boy doing?
Need you ask?
Meet you outside.
Hip is dressed as a peanut seller.
Did you bring it?
Andrea just stares ahead, her lips slightly parted. Bond looks at her. She's a bullet wound on her breast, partially hidden by her jacket lapel. Bond looks around anxiously. The boxer has kicked to the floor again. He struggles to get up. Bond gently places his hand on Andrea's wrist and feels her pulse. With his other hand, he picks up her handbag.
Darling, I left it in your handbag. It must be in here somewhere, dear. I saw the man in the shop give it.
Scaramanga's next to him.
Without the ticket, we can't get a receipt for customs.
You won't find it in there, Mr. Bond. I looked before you came. I wouldn't do that either. Look behind you.
Bond does so.
Lower.
Knick-knacks holding a gun and eating peanuts.
A gun in a bag of peanuts. How original. What will they think of next?
My name is Scaramanga. Francisco Scaramanga. I feel I know you, although I never thought we should ever really meet. It's a very great pleasure for me, Mr. Bond, thanks to Miss Anders.
You have a strange way of showing your gratitude.
A mistress cannot serve two masters. A difficult shot, but most gratifying.
Well, we all get our jollies one way or another.
Mine have always been guns, Mr. Bond. When I was a boy, I was brought up in a circus. My only real friend was a magnificent African bull elephant.
Bond spots the Solex.
One day his handler mistreated him and he went berserk.
It's on the floor.
Bleeding. Dying. He came and found me.
Bond covers it with his foot.
Stood on one leg. His best trick. Picked me up and put me on his back.
Bond buys peanuts. He drops them and scoops up the Solex.
The man emptied the gun to his eye.
He slips it into Hip's tray.
I emptied my stage pistol into his.
An eye for an eye. Not.
Hip marches out with a Solex agitator in his tray of peanuts.
You see, Mr. Bond, I always thought I liked animals. And I discovered that I liked killing people even more.
Bond stares at Scaramanga. Outside, Hip runs up to Goodnight. He gives her the Silex agitator.
Keep this. Whatever you do, don't lose it.
She slips it in her bag.
I have to get back to help James.
Something's gone wrong.
There's a midget with a gun on him.
A midget?
Same one I saw outside the bottoms up. And the girl is dead. Call the police.
Goodnight stares aghast. Knick-knack munches into his peanuts, his gun still trained on Bond, who glances at Andrea.
Forget the girl. She's replaceable. I shall find what she stole from me. Personally, I've got nothing against you, Mr. Bond, so let us hope that our paths never cross again. Please don't try to follow me. Your peanut-toting friend back there wouldn't like it. Oh, he would.
Scaramanga stands up and walks away without looking back at Bond. Hip walks past the ring. He brushes past Scaramanga. Bond holds up his pack of peanuts.
You want to try one of mine?
He glances round. Knick-knack is walking out of the stadium. Goodnight is on the telephone. She sees the diminutive servant striding towards the exit. In the arena...
Where's the Solex?
Gave it to Goodnight.
And where's Goodnight?
Outside.
As Knick-knack walks past the stallholders outside the stadium, Goodnight peers round a wall. She starts to follow him. He walks jauntily towards a car and opens the passenger's door. Goodnight creeps round the back of the car and crouches down. She searches in her bag for a set of keys. Bond and Hip walk out of the stadium.
She must be by the car.
They walk in the opposite direction from Goodnight, who's opened the boot of the car. Knick-knack sits casually, staring ahead. Goodnight has a tracking device in her hand. As she places it in the open boot, Scaramanga comes up behind her. He tosses her in the boot and slams it shut. Scaramanga climbs in behind the wheel. Bond and Hip breach the Mercedes.
Women, walkie-talkie.
Hip hands the radio over to Bond, who flicks up the aerial.
Goodnight, where are you?
Somebody locked me in a boot.
In a what?
The midget's car. I'm locked in. It's a bronze car with a black roof, number 7543.
It's driving past Bond and Hip as she speaks. They race to the Mercedes.
The keys?
I haven't got them.
Oh, no. Goodnight. Where are the car keys?
Oh, I've got the keys. And I've got the Solex, too.
They race out of the Mercedes.
Taxi! Stay in there, Goodnight. We've got you spotted.
Bond runs down the street and stops. The brown coupe tries to turn right and has to wait for traffic. Hips across the road.
Taxi!
The coupe does a U-turn on the dual carriageway. Bond races to an American Motors car showroom. J.W. Pepper is sitting in a new model when Bond hops in.
Have a demonstration, boy!
Certainly, sir.
Bond drives through the shop window. Out on the street, he executes a U-turn. J.W. turns to Bond.
Now I know you!
Oh, no.
You're that secret agent! That English secret agent from England!
Bond weaves the car in and out of the traffic. The tobacco-chewing J.W. is being flung about inside.
You're chasing somebody. Well, yes, this time, boy. Commies! Let's go get him! I'm with you all the way.
Driving sedately along, Scaramanga becomes aware of the chaos behind him. Knick-knack looks out of the rear window.
Uh-oh, I think we've got trouble.
Scaramanga speeds up. Unable to overtake the car in front, Bond drives onto the island, dividing the two lanes. As Bond seems hemmed in, J.W. leans out of the window.
Pull your cars over, you little brown ponyheads! I'm a peace officer!
James, are you still there? James? Can you hear me? James?
All right, Goodnight, don't panic.
Who's that?
It's headquarters.
Well, let me talk to him. Hello. This is Chef J.W. Pepper, Louisiana State Police. Now, you call my wife at the Near Eye Hotel and tell her I'm on a mission. I've been deputized. Right?
Right.
Which car are we all chasing, boy?
The brown coupe reaches an ornate roundabout and turns right to cross a line of traffic coming the other way. A police officer in a car spots the maneuver. Bond's red car with a white stripe down the side follows suit. The policeman radios in. The two cars drive across a dusty track and emerge on a main road. The policeman sets off in pursuit. A second marked car joins him. Scaramanga veers left across another car but can't shake Bond off. The two police cars also cut across traffic. Scaramanga drives to a T-junction and Bond drives across him. Scaramanga takes a right and Bond reverses at speed. He turns the car around 180 degrees and chases after Scaramanga once again. The driver of the piece of junk, not watching where he's going, speeds up a ramp and lands on a parked car. The leading chasing squad car collides with a piece of junk and a second into it. A third squad car pulls up. While the police squabble, Scaramanga, on the outskirts of the city, drives down a side road, tossing goodnight around. JW.
They went to the left, boy.
They drive alongside a river. JW turns to Bond.
Press that pedal, boy!
They drive onto a bridge and JW holds onto his hat. They bounce onto another bridge. There's no sign of Scaramanga up ahead.
Where the hell they got to?
Bond glances to his right and sees Scaramanga on the other side of the river. Scaramanga turns superciliously to look at Bond, and Knick-Knack waves.
You goof, boy.
Bond speeds past a wooden house and some outbuildings, one of which juts up and out over the river. He about turns.
Here's bridge, it's 2 miles back.
Bond sees the outbuilding is actually the struts of a broken, dilapidated bridge. Bond backs up to face the bridge.
The bridge is that way!
JW sees the struts and rickety platform in front of them.
You're not thinking
I sure am, boy.
Ever heard of Evel Knievel?
The car rises in the air, completes a full circle and lands on the far side.
I've never done that before!
Oh, neither have I, actually.
JW's flipped into the back seat. Police cars zoom along the riverside road. Scaramanga reaches a village. He drives into a building through an open, wide doorway. As Scaramanga reverses, Knick-Knack presses a switch and gates close across the doorway. Scaramanga looks out of his window as metal struts attach to the car's chassis. Bond and JW reach the village. Scaramanga looks at the fuel gauge. It's good. It flips over and becomes a compass. He flicks a switch and more controls flip over. Bond and JW reach the building with the closed gates. Bond pulls out his gun.
Let's go get him, boy!
Bond glares at the loud sheriff who tempers his enthusiasm. Bond's at the gates. JW, in a patterned brown shirt with khaki shorts, white calf-length socks and brown shoes, looks incongruous beside the suave Bond. In the car, Scaramanga flicks some switches in a panel above the windscreen. Bond tugs at the gate's handles. He prepares to shoot the lock. JW covers his ears and the police arrive. The sheriff holds up a hand.
You stay put, boy. This is my department.
He steps forward, arms open wide.
Glad to see you boys on the ball. Sheriff J.W. Pepper, Louisiana State Police. Here's my identification. This is Law Enforcement Association, American Legion. Me and my partner here. We're on a secret mission. Hey, what the hell you doing? Hey, give me my wallet back.
He's cuffed. They all turn on hearing the noise from the building. Attached to the car's roof were a set of wings, an engine, and a dual tail. The car drives through the building and turns.
Doors.
Sitting beside Scaramanga, Knick-Knack presses a remote control. One panel of the building rises and two flop down as the car taxis out of its hangar. Bond and the police run round from the front. They see the car speed down a track. Scaramanga pulls back the steering wheel and the car plane lifts off. Bond stares up at the strange sight of a car chassis with wings soaring into the blue skies. JW is brought through to the back.
You can't do this to me and I want my wallet back. Now you take these goddamn bracelets off. I'm gonna sue you for false arrest. Police brutality. I got connections. I'm gonna get the FBI on your ass, the CIA. God damn it, I'm gonna get Henry Kissinger. Now look at me when I'm talking to you, boy.
The policeman's eyes are fixed on the flying car.
What's the matter? Ain't none of you porty heads ever seen an airplane before?
In Vaughn's hijacked car...
James? James, are you still there? Can you hear me? I think we've stopped.
Good night, Jemmy is the car plane's boot door. She looks down in amazement at the river and paddy fields below. Her long blonde hair billowing in the wind, she struggles to shut the boot.
Sir, if I heard correctly, Scaramanga got away.
Yes, sir.
The car, the sprouted wings.
Oh, that's perfectly feasible, sir. As a matter of fact, we're working on one now.
Don't you shut up. Miss Goodnight was in the boot.
Yes, sir. We found the car plane abandoned about 200 miles west of Bangkok.
And the Solex?
In Goodnight's handbag, sir.
Where's Goodnight now?
We don't know, sir. Well, communications aren't picking up the signal from the Homer she has supplied by Q.
Rubbish!
They're simply not stepping up the reception sufficiently to enable...
Oh, shut up, Q. Of all the foul, the half-witted operation. What do you want?
We've picked up Goodnight's signal, sir.
Well, that's something.
But there is something rather curious, sir.
The captain has two maps.
Our sector's here, and we're receiving her signal from somewhere... off this coastline, offshore here. Now, here it is on a much larger scale. That's where she is, in this group of small islands.
That's all we need, red Chinese waters.
Well, we could stray inadvertently into them, sir. I could fly low under their radar screen.
Absolutely out of the question. If the PM gets to hear of this, he'll hang me from the yardarm.
Officially, you won't know a thing about it, sir.
Islands of rock rise from a calm sea. A small single-engine seaplane skims above the surface of the water. Bond is at the controls. He follows a flashing light on his tracking screen as he maintains a course through the rocky outcrops. On some of the larger outcrops, trees and vegetation grow in profusion. Bond flies so low he even clips the top of a tree. As Bond rounds an island skimming above the waves, a sentry calls to a colleague. He speaks into a radio. in a command center and officers on the telephone.
There's a small seaplane approaching your island. Do you want us to take any action?
No. No, please don't do anything. Yes, it's a guest I'm expecting. No, he won't be leaving.
Bond is closing in on Scaramanga's island. His screen shows him almost on top of it. He flies between two prominent rocks joined by a tiny beach. Bond touches the seaplane down on the surface of the water. The plane taxis across the water and comes to a halt on the sandy beach. Bond, wearing a gun and a shoulder holster, opens the cockpit door and stands up. He surveys the small island. He sees no one. Bond jumps down onto the sand, takes his jacket from the cockpit, and walks away as Knick-Knack, wearing a white jacket, brings champagne on a tray.
Bonjour, Monsieur Bond. I am Knick-Knack.
A hand on a gun peeps round a rock.
Dom Perignon, 64.
I prefer the 62 myself. Still, beats a bag of peanuts.
Monsieur Scaramanga will welcome you personally.
The bullet pops the cork, leaving the bottle intact.
Forgive me, Mr. Bond. A vulgar display, but I couldn't resist it. Because I am so delighted to see you again. A harmless toy.
He lays the gun on the tray.
I am, as you can see now, completely unarmed. Cigarette. We have so much in common, Mr. Bond. We have so much to discuss, and we will never have this opportunity again. Ours is the loneliest profession, so let us spend a few pleasant hours together.
How can I refuse such a gracious invitation?
Splendid! Splendid! Knick-Knack, I expect you to surpass yourself. He's a cordon bleu, you know.
By the way, where's Miss Goodnight?
Scaramanga turns.
Oh, she's around here somewhere. There's no way for her to leave, so she does as she pleases. How do you like my island?
Bit off the beaten track, isn't it?
It's rent-free. I do my landlords an occasional favor.
A cozy arrangement. Servant problem, I suppose?
Not at all. Knick-Knack does for me very nicely.
Bond's ushered inside.
Usually it was just the two of us, but having guests is no inconvenience. We're entirely self-supporting. We have every electrical labor-saving device you could possibly think of. This is an airlock, as you are doubtless aware.
A glass door slides open.
Automatic, of course. Naturally, we have an ample supply of electricity here. Let me show you.
Scaramanga opens a steel door. Behind it, a solar energy station. Bond walks inside and takes in the vastness of the complex of vats and controls and walkways.
This should run a few electric toothbrushes.
Up here.
They climb up to a walkway.
A solar energy station. So this is what it's all about. Thermoelectric generators to convert solar energy into electricity. All built by Hyfat's construction company, no doubt.
Somehow I seem to have inherited it from them. It's all fully automated. That's Kra, maintenance and security. He looks after everything in here. Knick-Knack does everything else when he isn't polishing the silver. They tell me the electricity is stored in here somewhere. Science was never my strong point.
Superconductivity coils cooled by liquid helium. If I were you, I wouldn't stick my finger or anything else for that matter in there. At 453 degrees below zero, that liquid helium would break it off like an icicle.
You'll really know far more about it than I do, Mr. Bond. I'm arranging for every country that can afford the price to send their experts here to see for themselves.
But no Solex until the money is in the bank, right?
Right.
I have run across similar situations.
Not what I've got here. This way, the highest bidder can build hundreds of these stations and sell franchises for hundreds more. He will literally have the sun in his pocket. A monopoly on solar power.
The oil shakes will pay you just to keep solar energy off the market.
The thought had occurred to me.
They walk into a doorless elevator and move up to another level.
This is the collection point.
Scaramanga goes to a console and presses a switch. A light illuminates. Bond looks down a shaft and sees the Solex.
Oh, so that's where it belongs. Our famous Solex in the still down there transmits heat to the thermal generators. It's collected through this.
A metal box-like apparatus peppered with holes.
But where is it collected from? You need the sun.
A few more buttons are pressed and a shutter rises opposite Scaramanga and opening out to a view of the sea.
Watch that mushroom-shaped rock.
A mast rises on the top of it. Two hinged parallel strips of panels then open out halfway up the mast, making a cross-like figure.
Ingenious, isn't it? The panels lock onto the sun and then track it automatically.
Something like that, yes.
A white light beams from the shaft.
Reflected through this, those panels must produce a heat of at least 3,500 degrees Fahrenheit.
If you say so, Mr. Bond.
Scaramanga flicks a delay switch.
But I do know that we can focus the power wherever we want. Over here, I'll show you.
He walks to another console.
This is a bonus.
Goes with the Solex. No extra charge.
The console is suspended on a steel shaft. It's cylindrical with a square nose. At the tip is what looks like a nozzle. A shutter opens, revealing the beach. Bond sees his plane. A red light glows in the nozzle of the console and Scaramanga swivels it to point at the plane.
This is the part I really like.
He fires at the plane, which explodes in violent bursts of flame.
Now that's what I call solar power.
That's what I call trouble.
The shutters close.
You must admit, Mr. Bond, I am now undeniably the man with the golden gun.
Knick-Knack stands in front of an intercom, banging a tiny gong.
Lunch.
The tiny Knick-Knack, in bow tie and tails, shuts an oven door, crosses a well-appointed kitchen, picks up a covered silver salver, and carries it at shoulder height.
This way, Mr. Bond.
A door opens.
Ah, Miss Goodnight.
James.
Aren't we a little overdressed, Goodnight?
I like a girl in a bikini. No concealed weapons. Miss Goodnight, please. Mr. Bond. Now let's see what Knick-Knack has for us. Ah, mushrooms.
Goodnight checks under the lid of the salver.
The fried mushroom looks terribly interesting.
Yes, I'd noticed that. I'll get around to it later.
Scaramanga sets the components of his golden gun on the table.
Having fun in the sun, Goodnight?
Yes. I could stay here forever.
Bond checks the wine.
Excellent. Slightly reminiscent of a 34 Mouton.
Then I must add it to my cellar.
You live well, Scaramanga.
At $1 million a contract, I can afford to, Mr. Bond. You work for peanuts. A hearty well done from Her Majesty the Queen and a pittance of a pension. Apart from that, we are the same. To us, Mr. Bond, we are the best.
There's a useful four-letter word. And you're full of it.
Goodnight's eyes flit from Bond to Scaramanga.
When I kill, it's on the specific orders of my government. And those I kill are themselves killers.
Oh, come, come, Mr. Bond. You disappoint me. You get as much fulfillment out of killing as I do, so why don't you admit it?
I admit killing you would be a pleasure.
You should have done that when you first saw me. But then, of course, the English don't consider it sporting to kill in cold blood, do they?
Don't count on that.
Bond goes for his gun, but Scaramanga has assembled his golden gun. He points it at Bond. Scaramanga leans his elbows on the table.
I could have shot you down when you landed, but that would have been ridiculously easy.
Bond takes his hand from inside his jacket.
See, Mr. Bond, like every great artist, I want to create an indisputable masterpiece once in my lifetime. The death of 007, mano a mano, face to face, will be mine.
You mean stuffed and displayed over your Rocky mantelpiece?
That's an amusing idea, but I was thinking in terms of history. A duel between titans. My golden gun against your Walther PPK. Each of us with a 50-50 chance.
Six bullets to your one?
I only need one.
Sounds a bit old-fashioned, doesn't it? I mean, pistols at dawn, that sort of thing.
Indeed it is, Mr. Bond. But it still remains the only true test for gentlemen.
I doubt if you qualify on that score. However, I accept. As soon as I finish this delicious lunch that Knick-Knack has prepared for us.
Messieurs, I will remind you this is a duel à la mort. Only one of you can leave the field of honor. If a coup de grace is necessary, as your referee, I will administer it myself. I do not expect wounds, only a clean kill. On my command, each contestant will take 20 pesos. Are you ready, Monsieur Scaramanga?
Scaramanga raises his golden gun.
Ready?
Are you ready, Monsieur Bond?
Ready?
I will now begin the count.
They're on the beach.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Back to back, they pace away from each other.
8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Bond turns and shoots. Scaramanga has disappeared. In a control room, Goodnight and Kral listen to the proceedings over an intercom. Kral leans over Goodnight, still in her bikini, and starts to stroke her hair. Kral studies a bleeping panel and beckons Goodnight over with his finger. Outside, the beach is quiet. The burned-out shell of the seaplane sits on the sand. The rocks and crevices are void of people. Bond moves up to a cliff face, his gun poised. Knick-Knack appears from a gully.
Shh. If you kill him, all this be mine. This way, Monsieur Bond.
Bond eyes the little man suspiciously. Scaramanga is in the room of mirrors where he killed the hoodlum. It's dimly lit. He looks up to his right and a smile appears on his face. He walks behind the wax model of Bond, pointing a raised gun. The real Bond is outside beside Knick-Knack. The servant points a gloved hand to a door in the cliff face.
Monsieur, good shooting.
I've never killed a major before, but there can always be a first time.
Oh, monsieur.
Knick-Knack grins as Bond makes his way down the beach to the door. Knick-Knack about turns and runs up steps. Inside the house, Knick-Knack races up a circular staircase to his state-of-the-art studio control booth. He sits on a chair which rises. Then he steps onto a bar to enable him to look through a viewing window down onto the gymnasium as Bond makes his way into it. Knick-Knack presses a button and the lights in the gym turn infrared. An eye watches Bond, who sees a picture of Scaramanga and fires at it. In front of Bond, a corridor of doorways. He goes through the first, then bumps to a halt. Out of the Wild West saloon steps the model gunman. Bond doesn't shoot. Bond sees his multifarious reflections in the mirrors. He turns to face the model of himself.
I warn you.
A camera follows Bond's every movement. He walks through a miniature stage set of London and hits a glass wall. He feels his way along the glass and slips round the end of it. He's on a high stage supported by scaffolding. Bond slips his gun into his waistband, and as Nick Knack presses more buttons, Bond starts to climb down the scaffolding. Nick Knack looks at the screens but sees no sign of Bond. He flicks to various cameras as Bond continues to descend the scaffolding. A frustrated expression appears on Nick Knack's face. The gun slips from Bond's waistband and alerts Scaramanga. Scaramanga stands in front of a bust of a man with a swirling moustache. The bust sits above a target. Bond stands still, then moves again. Scaramanga, his golden gun in his hand, stalks up behind the wax model of Bond with the finger shot from his left hand. Nick Knack switches from camera to camera, but can't find Bond. Scaramanga sees the cameras moving in all directions. Nick Knack opens the door at the top of the flight of stairs. The mirrors seem to spin, highlighting all the wax models. Scaramanga, becoming twitchy, ducks behind a rock and reappears at the other side. His eyes dart from side to side as he proceeds with caution. As he reaches the bottom of the stairs, the Bond figure turns to face him. The real Bond, disguised as the wax model, shoots Scaramanga through the heart. He falls to the floor. Bond walks towards the body. In the solar energy station, Kral leads Goodnight up to a console. He feels in his pocket for a key and starts to unlock the panel. Goodnight thwacks him over the head. Kral falls into one of the vats of liquid helium. It starts to froth. A notice by the vats reads, "Absolute zero must be maintained to prevent prompt criticality." Goodnight beats a retreat and makes her way down into the basement. Bond spots her.
Goodnight.
James!
She runs to him.
James!
Steady, Goodnight.
Where is he?
Flat in his coup de grace. Come on, let's get out of this fun palace and find that Solex.
They go through the door by which she entered into a stone corridor.
Wait here. I'll take care of the maintenance man.
I already did. I laid him out cold.
You did?
Yes.
There's more to you than meets the eye, Goodnight.
The gauges in the solar energy station are bleeping and the vats running over.
Goodnight, I hate to ask stupid questions, but where exactly did you knock him cold?
He landed in that one.
Don't you believe in science? We've got about 5 minutes before his body temperature raises that helium well above zero. Then this whole damn place will go sky high.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Bond races up to the control room where Scaramanga demonstrated the Solex. Goodnight watches as he starts to climb down the shaft in which he saw it. Bond tries to unscrew the cover over the Solex, but it won't budge. He takes out his gun and clubs it. A series of explosions occurred in the solar energy station. Bent over watching Bond, Goodnight's bikini-clad bottom touches the red push button on the console behind her. The shutters begin to rise. Goodnight sees the mast above the mushroom-shaped rock open out its panels. Bond's hand is over the center of the Solex apparatus. The panels on the mast catch the sun. The beam of white light glows.
Kill the beam! Hit the master override switch!
The what?
Goodnight?
Yes, James?
Now listen carefully. There's a console up there. Now there must be a scanner interlock button on it. Push it! Goodnight, are you still there? It'll be on the auxiliary feedback circuit.
Computer! Interlock, is that it?
Just push every damn button, will you?
Goodnight pushes the buttons to no avail. In the sky, a white cloud drifts across the sun. The beam vanishes.
Your girl, Goodnight! You've done it!
Oh, I have!
Bond steps onto the apparatus as the cloud moves across the sun. He takes his foot off the center of the unit and starts to unscrew the cover over the Solex. The sun nears the edge of the cloud as Bond struggles to remove the cover. The sun reappears, as does the beam. Bond has the Solex in his hand.
Goodnight, get the hell out of there, I've got it!
Goodnight runs down the stairs and Bond leaps onto a pipe to let himself down into the solar energy station. They meet at the bottom of the stairs. Bond takes her hand as a walkway collapses. She trips and falls. He stumbles over her. On their feet, he leads her to a sliding door to the outside. They're on the beach.
I hope you can swim, Goodnight.
This way.
She runs off.
His junk is moored around the corner.
As explosions rip the heart out of the solar energy station, they climb on board the junk. The junk moves sedately out to sea as Caramanga's hideaway crumbles. Smoke and flames billow from the rock island. On board the junk, Bond moves below deck as Goodnight walks out of her cabin.
But darling, who is at the wheel?
George.
George?
Automatic pilot. We should make Hong Kong in about 8 hours. Give Bond, take a little.
He tosses aside the hairbrush she was holding. Goodnight flings her arms around Bond's neck, and they kiss. Bond, now in a dressing gown, steps over to Goodnight, who's lying in bed. He lies down beside her.
I always wanted to take a slow boat from China.
Bond rolls over on top of her and they kiss again, her arms entwined around him. Up in the ceiling, a panel is raised, and Nick-Nack looks down on the couple. Nick-Nack inches his way towards the edge of the opening. He reaches in his back pocket for a dagger and slips the blade between his teeth. He takes the dagger in his hand and stretches across the opening. Goodnight looks up and sees him. He falls on the bed below, dropping the knife.
I'll kill you.
Bond stands up. Nick-Nack runs under a table and kicks Bond. Nick-Nack hides under a sofa. Bond breaks the back off a chair and prods underneath the sofa. As he bends down, Nick-Nack appears at the door, pushes Bond and runs to the bar. He climbs onto the counter and picks a bottle of wine from the rack. He tosses bottles at Bond, who bats them away with the frame of the chair. Bond grabs a suitcase and uses it as a shield. He opens the case and snaps Nick-Nack inside it. Bond lugs the suitcase out onto the deck. Goodnight is clearing the bed.
What did you do with him?
What do you think?
Oh, James, you didn't.
Yes, I damn well did. Got all the glass out of the bed, I trust. We don't want anything else to disturb our peace, do we?
Goodnight sinks back onto the bed with Bond beside her.
Where were we?
Oh, James.
At the side of the bed, a radio aerial and a telephone rise from inside a cabinet.
What's the matter?
Something came up.
Bond lifts the telephone receiver.
Hello?
Ah, there you are, Bond. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Is Miss Goodnight with you? I'd like a word with
her. Hold on, sir.
Bond lays the telephone down, then kisses Goodnight passionately.
Bond, are you there? Goodnight.
Bond stretches for the telephone.
She's just coming, sir.
He sets the phone down on the bed. M sits waiting at his desk on the Queen Elizabeth.
Goodnight. Goodnight. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Bond hangs up. Nick-Nack is inside a basket frame cage strapped to the mast of the junk.
Good night, good night. Sleep well, my dear.
ITFC audio description by Claire LeMay and James O'Hara.